learning laws of tefillin, so talking about the straps of the tefillin, they have to be made out of leather of a kosher animal. Could be a cow, could be a sheep, could be a deer, any kosher animal, and has to be that it was me'ubah, that is, say that when you put it in the, they say that tanning. Yeah, it has to be tanned the shame mitzvah tefillin. When the guy puts it in the stuff, he let it sit and everything. It has to be the shame mitzvah tefillin, for the stake of the mitzvah of tefillin. And it has to be black. It has to be black, totally black. It has to be blackened by a Jew. Okay, both the box and the straps have to be completely black, and a Jew has to make them black. And if it changes, the color changes, it's good to color them again in black. You can get special ink, paint, whatever, for the box and for the sword, and you can paint for yourself. Say the Shem Mitzvah Tefillin, and you paint. In the last, now in these times, there's a midnight like that, people, they make both sides of the straps black. You don't have to. Mm-hmm. Make both sides of the strap black.
Good.
Yeah, you don't have to. But it's a good thing, because then it's always black. Even if it turns around, it's always on the black side. This is very important now. The width of the straps have to be not less than 9 millimeters, which is a bit less than 1 centimeter. It's not thin. If it goes thinner than that, you can't make a bracha on those tefillin. The straps have to be at least a centimeter wide. Straps, yeah? If they're less, what happens where a person has to be careful, especially, is by tefillin shiriyat, where he pulls. It's leather over the years. Gets stretched out. A lot of times it could be stretched until it's less than a centimeter wide, and then you have to either change, or sometimes it's enough just to cut that piece. Someone who knows will cut it and tie it back on from the other.
Especially happens on the other.
Yeah, I said where you tighten it.
Where you tighten on the upper.
Yeah, where you pull.
And sometimes where you wrap it.
Right, you play around a lot with it, yeah. Okay, so you have to check it every once in a while. They have to make sure. Checking your tefillin is twice in 7 years at least. You can do it more if you think it's needed. But twice in 7 years, you have to check the... Someone who checked its filling and it was found that it was pasur because of a lacking of a letter or whatever. If he put on its filling, he didn't know, he just put them on everything. So he doesn't have punishment like Bachar Batala, Bachar Vain, because he did not know. And he even gets reward as if he put on kosher filling. But of course, he has to immediately change and buy himself kosher pair of filling. It's good to buy tefillin from a sefer who's a righty. Tefillin dafka. Sefer Torah mezuzah is also good with a lefty, but tefillin is better to buy for someone who's a righty, who writes with his right hand. My father is a lefty and used to write tefillin. Oh, now it's halachot. That was truth is the reason.
A number of years ago, and he said, and to my great discomfiture, Because they were pasul from the very lighting.
Really? How come?
In Eastern, in the Hungary and Balkan, for some reason, somebody got the idea of making the ink out of sepia.
What is sepia?
Jodiolon. The ink from cuttlefish. Kind of small squid.
Yeah.
Which is not kosher. And it's brown instead of black.
Really? How did you figure out that that's it from?
Because the writing was brownish and not black.
Yes, after many years maybe it changed.
But the tone of brown, the person with the Haggadah already recognized the particular tone of brown, and all the writing was the same color. Was it your black and your brown? It's all the same brown and black, a little reddish brown. It was written in the city of us. And he knew that there was a tradition for some reason in that part of Europe, the Balkan, Hungary, in that particular time, my grandfather was already so.
Very happy you sent him to be checked.
Yeah.
Now you have different feeling.
Oh, yeah.
Really, you should know that I started learning this book for Hilchot Tefillah. It goes through the whole day, it's true, but the main part where I wanted to learn is the law of the Tefillah, and the most of the book here is the law of the Tefillah. And that's why we're going to start now learning the law of the Tefillah, and Hanu Ben can learn English with us. Top. Kavana. ישנן מצוות שעיקרן קיומן ומעשה המצווה, ואילו טהרת המחשבה והכוונה המצווה הן רק מצטרפות למעשה החינם מהחבות. ושם מצווה זה, the main part of the mitzvah is actually doing the mitzvah, the practice itself, and the intention that you have in your head, it's a good thing, but even if you don't have it, it's still the mitzvah is done. But there are some mitzvahs that without having the right intention, the mitzvah is not being done. For example, if a person, he's thinking about Korban Pesach and all kinds of very exalted thoughts and everything, but he doesn't bring a sheep to Beis HaMikdash to be shechted. Right? I'm sorry, my friends. Your thoughts are not helping you being fulfilling the mitzvah. You have to bring a sheep to Beis HaMikdash. Right? And now and then, you have kares. But, on the other hand, if a person ate Korban Pesach, but he had achila gasa, meaning he was totally grossed out, he was full completely for something else already, and he ate Korban Pesach, I'm sorry, again, he still is yotze. Okay. By prayer, even if a person says all, each and every word of the prayer and everything, if he doesn't have an intention of his heart, the right mindset, I'm sorry, my friend, he does not fulfill the mitzvah of tefillah, of prayer, and he even has to return and pray again. Again, I'll read again. If a person thinks in his mind all of the prayer without taking it out of his mouth, even if he has 100% all the intentions in the world, he's not yet. But a person actually says the words, but he doesn't have any intention, he's still yet to the mitzvah. Okay? So first of all, we have to know that a person has to pray even if he doesn't understand a word of what he's saying, he doesn't have any intention, he doesn't know what he's doing. He shouldn't say, because I don't have intention, I should not pray. You have to pray and have intention. And if you pray without intention, you also, it's also prayer, it's not the highest level. But you cannot exempt yourself from praying because of that, from saying the words of the prayer that Anshek Nisai Dara fixed for us to say, the Shemoneh Esrei. It's good to say, he says here, in the name of Nefesh HaChaim, Chaim Balojin, to say, I'm praying on account of Rabbi Shimon HaChaim, praying on account of the Arizal, Nefesh HaChaim. So what do we say? I'm connecting myself to all the tzaddikim, and especially to Rabbi Nachman and Feige. So it's not Rabbeinu's making up stuff. Nefesh HaChaim also writes this, to connect yourself to the tzaddikim before the prayer. So everyone definitely should connect to the tzaddikim for the prayer. It's very, very important. The mitzvah of tefillah is very, very awesome. It's very, very high. And all the supreme worlds are to depend on it. And also the future redemption to come soon also depends on the prayer. Therefore, it's very important for a person to make an effort to pray in shul, to pray in the synagogue, right? Which is similar to Beis HaMikdash. It's what we have now instead. It's called Mikdash Me'at. A little bit of Mikdash, a small Beis HaMikdash. Because the Shechina dwells over there in the Beis Knesset. And the advantage of a person is praying in the Beis Knesset. Oh, thank you. Next one. The light came in. Melech Ezra. Doesn't have to call you Melech Ezra? Can I make an announcement? Everyone has to call Ezra. He's not Ezra anymore. He's Melech Ezra. And Zad Hashem, Melech Ezra is going to have children. Zad Hashem. Ezra, like Ezra.
When you ran away.
He told me to say that, man. Melech Ezra. Okay, Yaakov, you get the name? Good. Okay. Yeah, so the advantages of a person praying in a shul is greater than a person praying at home. Okay? First of all, if he's davening in a minyan, so of course his prayers could be answered a lot more. And besides the fact, just the fact that he's praying in a holy place is already a better chance for his prayers to be heard. There's a mitzvah to be from one of the 10 first people in shul. Okay? By every prayer, shacharit, mincha, avit, if you could be for the first 10, it's a big, big mitzvah, and he gets a lot of reward on this. Yeah. And just like there's a mitzvah to be for the first 10, there's a mitzvah to be from the last 10 which leave the shul, leave the Knesset. Yeah, try not to be also from the first one of the 10 which are leaving.
The last nine.
Why is that? Because by the way, when there's 10, it causes the Shekhinah to dwell. And if you now leave and now there's only 9, so the Shekhinah is not dwelling, you cause the Shekhinah to leave. So you prefer that you won't cause the Shekhinah to leave. Someone else will cause the Shekhinah to leave. There's a mitzvah to run to shul. Even on Shabbos, that you're not supposed to run to the Beit Knesset, you run. Not in a crazy way that people make fun of you. Just look, it will look like you're rushing somewhere, like you're hurrying to an important place. For example, if someone's rushing to the bank because it's closing, he's rushing, right? Everyone, he's running. Everyone sees that he's running towards the bank or towards the bus. So a person should read as if he's rushing towards the shul. But when you reach the shul, you stop, and you get calmed down, and you enter the shul with fear of heaven. Not to run into the shul. It's good to wash your hands before the tefillah, every tefillah. In the morning you have to wash your hands, but before the tefillah you don't have to wash your hands. It's good to wash your hands once on each hand, like you're preparing yourself to speak to the king. We're learning the laws of tefillah, isn't it?
Did this say a bracha? Gonna say kiddush.
You don't need to wash your hands.
You need to,
I didn't see that it says that it's a good thing to do. Before prayer, in the shul, it's something else.
Not before Yisro, what do you do?
I tell you, it's not good to wash before you do. You know why? Because then people are going to say, you might say one day, I didn't wash, maybe I shouldn't do it. But you can do in every situation. It's good for a person to set a set place for him to pray. A certain shul he davens, you should have a certain seat that he prays in. Not every day a different seat. Okay? But we're not talking about the whole prayer. The main thing is by Shmoneh Esrei. By Shmoneh Esrei, you should have a set seat. Okay? During Shmoneh Esrei, we're talking about that person should have a set seat to daven. Also in his house, if he davens at home, there's no minyan or whatever. When I was in Chile, there wasn't always a minyan. I mean, Shabbos sometimes during the week. So what we did, you should have a set place that you used to davening, Shmoneh Esrei.
A woman at home also?
Also a woman at home, yeah. A set place where she davened Shmoneh Esrei. Yeah. Now, in prayer, there's levels. In the Bet Knesset, there's levels of the Bet Knesset, even the Bet Knesset. The highest place to pray is Har HaBayit. But in our days, it's asur, it's so chamur to go to Har HaBayit, even though there are those people who decided that you're allowed to go to Har HaBayit. It's asur to go to Har HaBayit. All the Gdolei Yisrael paskin, it's asur to go to Har HaBayit. Avriyahu paskin, it's asur to go to Har HaBayit. It's afek deoraita. It's karet. It's very dangerous. You don't want to play games. People tell me, like my cousin who got married last week, that he went up to Har HaBayit on David's wedding. I was very sorry to hear. Hashem Arachem Alav. You don't go up to Har HaBayit. It's dangerous to go up to Har HaBayit.
You know, the tourist guides, they take the Jews up there. They don't know anything. And the Jews go in there.
Okay. That's so true. Now that you know, you don't go anymore, right, Ezra?
Yeah.
When you went, it was many years ago, before you didn't know anything. It's not like, it's okay, but still come on. Okay. But, so after the next place is to daven in a shul, where you could see from his windows the floor of Har HaBayit. And there was a shul like that, it was built, it's called the Shivat Porat Yosef, right near the Kotel. Where you were able to see from the windows the floor of Har HaBayit. It's very, very holy to daven in that place. Then, 1948, the Jordanians blew the whole place up completely. And Baruch Hashem, afterwards, when Hashem gave us back to us, so they built the yeshiva again, and you could see again the Har HaBayit from the Beit Midrash. Then, afterwards, the lower dusha is any other shul within the walls. And a lower Kedusha is any other shul in Yerushalayim. And then any other shul in Eretz Yisrael. And any other shul in the world. Okay. So if you go daven at the Kotel, it's also very high, but Porat Yosef is also high. Very high. As you can see the floor of Har HaBayit.
Even today?
I think so. You see, right? The floor of Har HaBayit.
You're up the top.
Not that.
Opposite, further up, there's some houses. You go up
all those steps. There's some
houses at the top of the old Aliyah. They have like this half dome of glass. It's expanded.
From the
house? Yeah. From within the house? There's like top floor that's on the roof. They have like an Aliyah God. There's a half dome of glass.
Uh-huh. It's very high to pray over there in a place like that where you can see. A person who's driving a private car and needs to pray, he should not pray as he's driving, because either he's going to crash into something because he's totally focused, or he's just going to drive focusing on the driving, not his prayers. So you stop the car, you get out. Like you see all the time, if you drive on the roads and like around Shkia time, you always see people just stopping on the side and praying on the side. Because you're supposed to pray, not when you're driving, to stop and pray. You have a private car, you can do whatever you want.
Do you think we're just going to do it?
No,
you do it when you're driving.
Of course. It's different. Shmanessa is so different. If came the time of prayer, and a person's on his way somewhere, he's to find himself a quiet place to daven, a little bit secluded from the whole street, for example, under trees or in a corner somewhere. I remember I was in Peru, a stopover, and I had daven over there. I found a telephone booth, that was awesome. I was in the telephone booth. Quiet, focus.
Cool.
Why?
Makam Patur.
What's a Makam Patur? Place where you can't, you're not supposed to daven in the bathroom.
No, you could daven.
So what's a Makam Patur? Makam Patur is a Shabbos term.
Yeah,
not a prayer term.
It's not a common term.
Nothing to do with the prayer. Yeah, oh, you came abreast of over here. Look. Asur yitpalel kshua atzev. It's prohibited to pray when one is sad. Because then he loses all the benefits he gets from the prayer. Rather, one should pray with joy. Except the time that he does vidui, and that person has to be brokenhearted, but otherwise, pray with joy. The whole prayer should be with joy. It's good to give tzedakah before the prayer, because it says, Ani betzedek echezef anecha, and I with joy will see your face, and see Hashem's face, with tzedek, I'm sorry, with tzedakah. So it's good to give tzedakah before davening. He says here in the Ari, not daven out loud, but we know, in the name of Rabbeinu, daven tefillah v'koach, so daven out loud, davka. We daven out loud. No. Shmonesra have to be completely silent. Only that you are able to hear your own whisper. When you're praying, you're supposed to sit with fear and awe from Hashem, so you don't daven like this. Ken Yaakov, lo litpalel kacha. So lo yafe, he writes like this. Right? Right, or...
Oh,
what?
Ah,
yeah, if someone's ill, it's a different story. Right? He's praying to God like that, or like this, stretching out his legs. It's not a coffee shop. It's tefillah in front of Hashem. Okay. It's good when you say verses, if you know the trap, to read them with the trap. Especially when you say Kirat Shema, it's important to say with trap if you know it. If you don't know it, you don't know it, I can't help you. If you do know it, say it with trap.
Aga, what you mentioned right now, the little symbols for the musical notes are was the basis of inspiration for the European for musical notation.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Interesting. But the goyim or the Jews?
The goyim.
The goyim?
Yeah.
So, cleaning your ears, your nose, your eyes. You do that all before davening, and if you need to wipe your nose during davening, use a tissue. Okay, before davening, you go wash your face, clean everything out. And if someone did, and he has a dirty hand, just to clean his hands, or wash his hands. Very important to say the parsha of the Akedah, of the, what is Akedah in English?
Binding
of Yitzchak Avinu on the altar. It's very important to say that every day. It's a very important thing to say. There's a big secret in it. If you could say it every day, it's a big thing. Come a bit earlier. Okay.
This is good for shaking the Yemuna.
Yeah, so it's nefesh. It's good to pray out of a siddur. Because then, a person for sure will say all the words. He has more intention.